So this morning in my sermon, I made a reference to one of those wonderfully blunt conversations which you can only have with your children. And it was one that I had with my son, Jack, which basically asked why I, as someone who doesn't believe in the infallibility of the Bible, who is willing to question the core texts of our tradition and the doctrine and dogma on which much church tradition is built, why do I stick with this Christianity thing, he said? And why do I work as the leader of the church? In fact, he went a bit further and said, are you just in it for the money? But that was another conversation that went off. But it's not an unfair question. Certainly, the easiest option as a progressive, liberal-minded, left-leaning person is to leave all shape and forms of religious tradition behind. To do so is to leave behind a whole load of problematic and difficult history and a baggage which the church and religion as a whole carries. To leave behind all the structures and trappings of the church would indeed free me from repeatedly having to say, and I quote, that I am not that kind of Christian, and to stop people lumping me in with the Christian nationalism and bigotry with which Christianity is being increasingly confused. And yet, as you may have noticed, I stick with it. In fact, as I have become more progressive, more liberal, my faith, rather than slipping away, has to me become deeper and wider and stronger. I am more comfortable in the faith that I hold than I probably ever have been in my entire life. And this afternoon's readings, both of them in their way, offer a reason for why I feel this way. Not the psalm, the reading from the Gospel of Matthew and from 2 Kings. There's nothing wrong with the psalm per se. It's just a hymn. It's a bit sort of magical protection hymn about trusting in God with lots of flowery language about how God will protect. Poetic, but not very practical. Chosen because this is the eve of the festival of St. Michael and All Angels. And verse 11 says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you." A line you may recognize from the mouth of Jesus in the story of the temptations in Luke chapter 3. Or rather, from the mouth of Satan in Luke chapter 3. But I digress. So what is it, you may ask, about these passages that offers some kind of summary as to why I stick with this Christianity business? And even more, perhaps, why I stick with this church business? Most of us will know the short vignette of Jesus' life that we saw in today's gospel quite well. It's where Jesus responds to the question of who is greatest in the divine economy, which he calls the kingdom of heaven, by turning upside down all of the expectations of his hearers and pointing to one of those at the bottom of society's hierarchy, a child. Now, we see children in a very different way to which our predecessors in ancient times probably did. We possess a Victorian era and later romantic view of childhood, where we value the so-called, quote-unquote, innocence of children. And we see the inherent worth of children. We also live in a world which, at least up to now, has had the luxury of being able to afford children. In previous eras, children were essentially a drain until they were old enough to support themselves and bring in money for the family to live on. It's not that people didn't love their children, but they were of less real value to the family until they could pay their own way, and up to then they were a drain on often scant resources. And this is who Jesus calls us to emulate. Those who are often held of little or no value by the world around. Jesus calls us to humility and above all to seeing things a different way, a childlike way, a way without all of the baggage that age brings. And that is what keeps me here. A different way of seeing, a different quality of vision. Repeatedly in the gospel stories, Jesus upends expectations and encourages his hearers to see differently, to challenge those systems which devalue and dehumanize people. Jesus encourages us to have a different vision. And this is entirely consistent with the prophets and storytellers of the Hebrew Scriptures. I continue to follow or try to follow the Jesus way as my eyes are open to new ways of seeing and being, and my values and attitudes are changed by this quality of vision. And I continue to follow because I, in this way of seeing, am given hope, the hope that keeps me holding on when things seem overwhelming, when the prophet calls me to look again so I might see the horses and chariots of fire when all feels lost. Thanks be to God. Amen.